Amen. And we're celebrating the spirit of motherhood here at Blessed Hope Bible Church all month long.
Amen.
Amen. Because we are so happy to know that God has gifted humanity with the role of a mother. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for my mother. And I don't mean that in the biological sense exclusively, but in the sense of who I am as a man. Not that I'm all that much of a man, but certainly I thank God for my godly mother who loved the Lord and still does and tries to demonstrate a godly example. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for all of our mothers. And again, I want to remember those of you whose mother has gone home to be with the Lord. We don't want to forget you. You are in our prayers. You are in our thoughts. And we do pray with you even now as you reflect on the memories of your mother who is now with the Lord. This morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, there's a wonderful passage about women, in particular one specific woman. And I want you to think about someone in your life who is struggling to make ends meet, that mother, that woman who you know, she's maybe a single mother. She may be someone who's never had children, or she just may be somebody you happen to know. I want you to tell them today that Jesus will set them free, that Jesus will give them grace to make it through. And I don't know about you this morning, but this recession has really taken a pounding on so many people. And the single mother in particular has really had to carry a very heavy load. And we must be in prayer for them. Amen?
Amen.
Doing everything we can to let them know that God is able. I said letting them know that God is able.
Amen.
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 And making sure that they understand that there is no reason to give up on God. Last night, I was at my father-in-law's house who had this particular fight on between two fighters, Pacquiao and a guy named Sugar Shane Mosley. And before that fight, we were looking at two other guys fighting, and in the last round, this guy was taking a beating, and his father, who is the manager, took his towel and threw it into the ring to say, "Stop the fight. That's my son, and he's taking a beating, and I want to stop this fight." Well, the referee had his back turned to the father, so his son just kept getting pummeled. So his father took a water bottle and threw it at the referee. And the referee, it didn't hit him, but it almost did, but it got close enough to where the ref said, "Oh, you trying to get my attention." And he stopped the fight immediately. And I say that to say this: it's good to have somebody who's looking out for you. When you're taking a beating, it's good to have a mother or a father who can say, "My child is taking a beating by life. We got to stop the fight. And we've got to come in and put our arms." And I remember that father putting his arms around his son and letting him know, "That's all right. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay." And his son was the champion. He lost the championship. But he said, "You know what? I'm proud of you." We've got to be proud of our children, not only when they win, but when they lose. We want to be proud of them. And if they're in a fight that's bigger than them, you've got to be parent enough not to say, "Well, you just got to have to figure it out." You know what? I didn't have to do that. Sometimes parents got to step in and say, "You know what? Stop the fight."
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Because you can fight another day. But let's stop this fight, because we ain't going to win this one. And then we'll regroup. And then we'll get back in the ring after we train a little bit more. Y'all with me today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus has set you free. Listen, look at these two women here. Come on, Deacon, Brother Mac. Do you know a woman who looks like this, but feels like this? A lot of folk can come in church dressed up, looking like they got it going on. And inside, this is what's really happening. This is their reality. And a lot of people, churches are good at being havens for hiding what's really going on the inside of you. when the church should actually be the main place that encourages you to be real. If you got tears that can't stop coming down your face, the church should be the place where you can deposit those tears. If you're in a situation and you can't see your way through, the church should be the one reaching out to you saying, come on, take us by the hand and you can make it. A lot of folk walk into church and they don't want nobody to know what they're really going through and what's happening in their life. They look like this on the outside, but they feel like this on the inside. And that's why at the end of a sermon, I'll say, if you need prayer, raise your hand. And they don't want to raise their hand. You know why? Because they don't want nobody to know that they need help. But that's the best time to raise your hand. When somebody says, hey, look, God is in the place. He'll bless you right now if you'll lift your hand. And if you're in this room today and you look like this dear woman here, but you feel like this one, I got good news for you today. You don't have to walk out of this house, out of this sanctuary, out of this room, feeling like the woman on your right. You can be blessed. God has not forgotten you. In fact, you're on his mind right now. You say, but it feels like it, and that's the worst thing you can go by, are your feelings. Don't use feelings to judge anything, because feelings are fleeting. They're here today, and they're gone tomorrow. Amen. Use the word of God. These are some things I want to cover with you this morning. How many of you believe, first of all, that Jesus will set you free? Amen. Not just a cliche. I want to talk about a woman who was really in a mess, in a bind. We're going to talk about her condition, her cure, and her celebration. You know somebody with a condition? Raise your hand like this. Say, I know somebody, Pastor. Not only do they got a condition, but they getting on my nerves too. I know somebody. We're going to talk about her condition, her cure, and her celebration. Let's look at her condition. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. A woman was there who for 18 years had an evil spirit in her that made her crippled. Her back was always bent. She could not stand up straight. So for 18 years, this woman was in the same position with her back bent over like this for 18 years. Let's look at the nature of her condition. Number one, its origin. The origin of her condition was sin. There was an evil spirit, Luke tells us. And you say, wow, you mean Luke is into that? Luke was a doctor. But look at what Luke says about what caused this woman to be bent over. It was an evil spirit. Don't run from this, y'all. Don't be too sanctimonious about that. There's a lot of evil in the world. And it will bend you over. And will keep you bent over if you're not careful. Pastor, I ain't never heard no evil spirit. Take alcoholism. It will bend you over and it will break you. Any addiction is an evil spirit as far as I'm concerned. All of the things that are happening in our world today, there's all kinds of evil spirits running around here. Amen? Amen. Now, as a Christian, no spirit can possess you, but it can oppress you. It can't take your salvation and possess you, but it can make you do things that you shouldn't do. And it can cause you to not see just how good God is. And you can become so depressed and so down on yourself that you just bent over. And you might be looking straight on the outside, but on the inside, you've been bent over for so many years, you don't even know how to stand up straight. And the origin is there's something in your past or something that has happened that you cannot get over or that you cannot break. And it's keeping you down and down and down. And you've tried all kinds of stuff and you're just still in the same shape that you was in 18 years ago. How would you like to be that woman? You're in the same position. You ain't grown any. You haven't developed as a person. You haven't changed any. For 18 years, you still as messed up and now as you was 18 years ago. Because you living out of your past. The agent was Satan. And Satan is not dead. Satan is not some, some horror flick that you see advertised in some movie made up of special effects and 3D imagery and all of this other stuff. Satan is real. And Satan would love for the Christian to be bent over just to ride your back. My mother once said, if you bend your back, people will ride it. Amen? And Satan, that goes for him as well. If you want to flirt with sin, you want to flirt with temptation, you know what? You're telling Satan, come on, get on board. But just for a minute, when I tell you to get off, you got to get off. Let me tell you, once Satan gets on that back, he ain't getting off. Somebody got to throw him off. That's why you don't give in to sin. The agent is the devil. And all of the sickness and wickedness in the world, and we talk about the world and the mess that it's in. God is not the architect of wickedness. Satan is. Satan is. And if there's mess in your life, guess who's trying to stir up strife? Satan. That's why Satan loves church. So he can come in and divide brothers. Make them jealous of each other. Yes, right. Cause all kinds of gossip and hypocrisy. Satan loved church.
Yes, that's right.
Satan loved to preach too. He loved to sing. He loves to be seen. So he can mislead Christians and mislead folk. And he'll be as sensationalistic and charismatic as you want him to be. So that he can lead you down a path you have no business going.
That's right.
And you'll end up in pain. The agent of this woman's misery, the source, that is, of her misery was the devil. The nature of it, it was visible. You could see she was a mess. And that's the difference between her mess and our mess. Because you look at us and we're okay. Yeah, got your Bible, you know, suit, tie, everything's all right. Shoes shine, yeah. You have a shower this morning? Yeah, you brush your teeth? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. You look all right. Yeah, you look cool. But see, she could not hide her situation. You look at her, you go, oh, whoa, you doing this. You know why? Because it was visible. It was visible. You could see that things were not right. But so many folks sit in these little blue chairs in this sanctuary and they just like her. But you can't tell. How long? 18 years. You know, that's a long time for real. That's a very long time to be in the same predicament year in and year out. That's got to be depressing.
Yes.
It's got to be humiliating to walk around with your head down. You can't even look up to anybody. You can't even look up to God. To be in that shape for 18 years and you've been going to church, because this is where Jesus meets her, in church.
Come on.
You've been going to church that long and you still in the same shape you was. What's going on with that church? Amen. Maybe in the wrong church. 18 years she was bent over and could not raise herself up. And all of the reading of the Torah and all the stuff going on in the synagogue, all they could look at her and do is look at her. That's why I love Jesus. He can do something. All they could do is look at her and pass her on. Oh, God will help you. I don't need to hear God will help me. I need God to help me. I'm tired of phrases and verses and Old Testament characters. I need a God right now, right here, right today. Amen?
Amen.
If he's God.
Right.
It's impact. Imagine the impact on her family. Imagine the impact of those who would mock and ridicule her because of her condition. Imagine the embarrassment that she had to face every time she went to the church or the synagogue in the textual sense, but still church. And she's going in messed up. Imagine that in your own life where you got a situation and everybody knows it. How would you feel about that? It takes a lot of courage to bring your mess to church. You hear what I said? It takes a lot of courage. Anybody can come to church when everything is right. It really takes a lot of courage to come to church and you know you're a mess. And everybody see you and they look at you and go, they're a mess. That's a courageous soul. Well, let's talk about her cure. Because we can always talk about her condition, but I want to get to the cure. Amen? Luke 13, verses 12 and 13 says these words. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, You are free from your sickness. Jesus put his hands on her, and immediately she was able to stand up straight. And let me see if we got this together. Now, for 18 years, she'd been going to church the same way. And finally, she goes on this particular day when she could have said, you know what? I don't feel like going to church no more. I'm going to stay home. But look who shows up. That's why you don't stay home from church. You never know when Jesus has that miracle just waiting for you, and you done gave up 18 years, and all of a sudden, guess who happens to be in the sanctuary? Jesus. And notice what Jesus does. He does three things. Number one, he saw her. He sees her. Guess what, beloved? He sees you too. Mother, he sees you. Single mother, he sees you. Woman of God, he sees you. And you might think that he's blind, but he's not blind. He can see you. Well, he's in heaven and he's looking on earth. He sees you. The next thing Jesus does is he calls her. He calls her. Now notice here that before he heals her, he sees her and then he calls her. So when he calls her, she's got to come to him bent over. In other words, he does not straighten her out and then call her. He calls her first, just like she is, before he touches her. See, some of us got this thing about Jesus and salvation mixed up. We think Jesus is going to touch us, then he's going to call us. Uh-uh, he's going to call you. And then he's waiting on you to respond, and then he touches her. He sees her. Then he said, get over here, woman. Come here. Come here. You. Yeah, you, the one who's been bent over 18 years. Come over here. And look at this woman. Now, she's never seen Jesus. Jesus never seen her. She has no idea what he's going to say or what he's going to do. My God. You talking about faith. You talking about faith. And this woman in her bent over state, she's just walking over to Jesus. Can you see her? Look at her walking over to Jesus, just as bent up and messed up as she can be. And then guess what? Then Jesus put his hands on her. And that's all he's got to do. He puts his hands on her. Listen, when God gets his hands on you, he will cure you. You say, Pastor, but I've got this. He will cure it. There's a cure for that. Listen, whatever happens, when Jesus puts his hand on you, whatever's happened in your life, it's cured. That's why I love it when the Bible says he will even cure my past. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He will cure you. But before he cures you, he sees you, and then he calls you. And between the moment that he calls you and he touches you, you got to answer. You got to answer. The woman, when she heard Jesus call him over to her, she went over to him in the messed up shape she was. And that's how you got to come to Jesus, beloved. You got to understand, salvation is not about you cleaning yourself up and coming to church. Salvation is coming just like you are, just as messed up and addicted and in bondage as you possibly could be. Whether you're in a club or a casino or a tavern, you can cry out to Jesus. If he sees you and calls you, you just answer. That's why the church is such a mess today, because we think everybody should be perfect and everybody should dress the same and act the same and look the same. The church is made up of some really messed up folk. But if Jesus is calling you and you are coming to him, it's gonna be all right, because once you get to him, he's gonna touch you. But you gotta hear him call you. And some of you, you've been listening and listening and you ain't been coming. But he wants you in as-is condition. He wants you in as-is condition. And you just simply have to trust him. And know that he is able. Well, I tried so-and-so and it let me down. This is not so-and-so. This is Jesus. And you just have to know that. And you have to realize that. I was teaching a class the other night, and somehow the subject got off into relationships, because we're teaching on leadership. And I remember one of the students raising her hand and she says, well, if somebody wants to be with me, they've got to be this, 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 and this. I said, don't worry about it because you're going to be lonely the rest of your life. Well, he got to be a this and he got to be that. I said, don't even worry about it. Just take that little list and stuff it under your pillow because you and your pillow are going to be spending a lot of time together. Because you'll never get a man. Well, what do you mean by that? God knows what he's doing. And trust me, when he sends you a man, he's going to send you a man who's not perfect. I want to talk to the women because I think we need to do something. I think I got some work to do here. I think I got a hole I'm going to dig for myself, but that's all right. I'm going to get myself out of this one. If you're looking for the perfect man, you're going to be looking for a very long time. Jesus did not treat you that way. He takes you bent over and messed up. Why can't the brother be one who is also trying as long as he's doing the best he can? Why can't that be good enough? Amen. Y'all, I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if you don't like what I've said. Why? He ain't got no job. Is he looking? That's a big difference. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. He ain't got no job. Is he looking every day? Is he hustling? That's a big difference. Between ain't got no job and looking and doing everything he can and looking and looking and looking. That's a good man. I'm writing a book entitled, it's for young ladies, If You So Fine, Why You Catching the Bus? It's for young women. Because sometimes we get our priorities mixed up. And we get disoriented into what really matters. You know what Jesus does when he looks at you? He says, what matters to me is my love for you and your love for me. Women, if you apply that metric, that standard, if you will, to your relationships, boy, I tell you, things may change. It's all about love when it's all said and done. It's all about love when it's all said and done. It's all about, does somebody love you? And do they love you warts and all? Now, I'm not talking about physical warts. If you have those, it's between you and your husband. But I'm talking about in terms of something else. I'm talking about those things that get on people's nerves, but not your mate's nerves. Jesus loves you like that. Women, if you're saying, God, I'm just waiting on God, trust God. Amen. Treat your situation the way God treats you. He didn't say jump over this wall when he said come to me. But yet everybody got to jump over a wall to be with you. Think about that. You didn't like it, did you? That's good. That's okay. Think about that. Amen. Jesus touched her. He touched her. He didn't have to touch her. But he did it because nobody else would. That's why he touched her. There are very few miracles that Jesus does in the Bible in which he touches people. Did you all know that? Jesus oftentimes just speaks. He just speaks and the miracle's done. Y'all know that, don't you? You know, the woman in Matthew 21 had a demon-possessed daughter. Jesus said, your daughter fine, and go on home. Right? Y'all remember that miracle, don't you? Yeah. Right? She crumbs off the master's table. Y'all remember that. Y'all working with that. So there are many times when Jesus just spoke and the miracle was done. Just spoke it and moved on. But here Jesus touched this woman, and he touched her because nobody else would, to let her know she had value. I'm trying to teach somebody this morning. She had value and she had a purpose. And that's what he wants to do for you. And then look at what he says to her. You are free. You're free. And you got to understand today that Jesus wants to set you free. He just doesn't want to be relegated to the pages of the Gospel of Luke when it comes to setting people free. He'll set you free right here, right now, if you let him. He'll do it. Her cure was powerful. What does that mean? It was divine in nature. No doctor, no Advil, no steroids, no surgery. How would you like a back operation like that? Where Jesus says you're healed and your back is completely made whole. I wish he had replaced my hip. It was perfect. It was complete. There was nothing lacking. She didn't need to go back to the doctor for a follow-up. It was public. Everybody saw it. Imagine that person who you've seen all those years and they a mess, and then they come in church and they totally different. You know that Jesus had something to do with that. That's why the gospel is so powerful, because when it changes you from the inside out, and can't nobody deny you've been with Jesus because he has straightened up your life. It was permanent. She didn't go back to being bent over as soon as church was over. Can I get a witness? She was straight all the time. It was a permanent miracle. It was powerful. It was perfect. It was public. And it was permanent. Let's talk about her celebration. So she was able to stand up straight. And guess what the first thing she did was? She began praising God. Why don't you get on your feet if Jesus has straightened your life and just give him praise right now. Everybody in the building. Right here, right now. Just praise him. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, thank you for straightening me out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If he touched your life, give him praise. If he changed you, give him glory. If he's working it out, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remain standing. Remain standing. Glory, glory, glory. Now listen. Jesus will set you free. Amen. But you got to want to be free. Yes. Bow your heads, everyone in the building. Keep standing and just bow your heads. I want to talk to somebody who says, Pastor, I want to be set free. Then lift up your hand just like this. Say, Pastor, pray for me right now. I see you. Who else? I see you. I see you. Who else? Nobody's going to make you come up anywhere. That's it. Come on. Yeah, yeah. More hands. That's it. That's it. Yeah, yeah. Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. I want to be set free. Lift your hand. And God is doing it right now. We're going to pray for you, but he's doing it. He's releasing you right now. Don't fool yourself. He's releasing you right now. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, that's just church. It ain't just church. It's God. Oh, you just went to church. You think you got something. It ain't about that, my friend. This is real. The word of God says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. I know that you had some hang-ups. I know you got some issues. You got some stuff going on and you ain't right. Ain't nobody in here right. So welcome to my house. Listen to me, beloved. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Lift your hand and say, God, help me. Help me, God. Help me. Don't nobody have a right to look at you, honey. Lift your hand. Can't nobody look down at you. Ain't nobody walking on water in here but Jesus. Don't you fool yourself. You all right. He'll touch you right now. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll do it. He will do it. Jesus saw her, then he called her. She responded, then he touched her. Hallelujah today. And he's going to touch you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there another who says, Lord, touch me right now? Don't be mad at God. He didn't do nothing to you. Don't be mad at him. Just lift up your hands to him. Even if you got a complaint, just lift your hands. Lord, I don't know why you're doing this and why this is why I'm going through this. Yeah, you can do it. That's all right. He'll answer you. Does the God of the Bible still exist today? Does he still work miracles, my friend? Yes, he does. Does he still break yokes and cast out devils? Hey, if there's still devils, he's still casting them out. Does he save marriages and homes? And does he make a way out of no way? Does he still part the waters of life? Yes, he does. I wouldn't serve a God who couldn't climb out of a Bible and climb into my house and do some things in my life. He can stay in that Bible if that's all he can do for me. He's got to be able to come up out of them pages and into my pain. And let me tell you, I'm a living witness. He's able. Don't just confine him to your gold leaf Bible. He is here and he is alive and he is able. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let us pray together. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you, Father, for seeing us and calling us to yourself. Lord, somebody needs to be set free. And you have the power. The same Jesus who was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and set free a woman who was in bondage to a disease for 18 years. He's the same Jesus walking up and down these aisles. Now, Lord, touch that woman, that man, that boy, that girl who is looking for you, oh Lord, to break the yoke and cycle of depression and despair and discouragement. Lord, make yourself known to them right now, Father, in the midst of their mess. Speak to them, Lord. In the midst of their mess, touch them, Lord. In the midst of their mess, grant healing and mercy and redemption and salvation, whatever they need. Whoever that man is who raised his hand today, Father, we may not know him personally, but you know him specifically. Lord, move in his life right now, Father. You know his prayer request before he even utters it. Lord, I pray, look upon everybody right now with hands raised up high saying, Lord, I need some help. And I don't just need some help, I need your help. So come and touch us, Lord. Touch us right now, Father. Touch us right now, Father. Right now, Lord, do it right now, Father. And we'll be mindful. We'll be mindful to give you the glory and the praise. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give them a hand, praise everybody. You may be seated.